Just a quick announcement as we're getting started here. Here in a couple of weeks, I guess it'll be our last meeting. And so we have this lesson on physical illness and mental illness. Then we'll do a case study, just like we did the last time. And so you guys will just look forward to that email here sometime this week, kind of giving you guys some direction. I've not decided if I want to go ahead and end, you know, the Frank and Evelyn like you guys did last time. That one's pretty complicated. So I'm wondering if we do a simpler one, but then I'll just fill out the right side. And again, it's not a perfect rendition, but just to give you the right side of the diagram, then have you guys complete the left-hand side. And so you'll just use the notes. So everything that we've gone over with conflict, husband-wife, roles, communication, right? All of these different things you guys will use then to create a plan, right, for the left side of that diagram so that that person, right, whoever it might be, if it's Frank or Evelyn or someone else, that they can honor and glorify the Lord. Again, we'll have a guy for the guys, a girl for the girls, and we'll plan to get kind of meet in here just like normal. We'll break up into our groups, okay, and you'll go and share what you've kind of put together that previous week. So you'll go read the case study. Again, if it's Frank and Evelyn, you just reread the same one and then kind of look at the left side of the diagram, that middle box in the left tree, to create a plan, all right, for them to grow and change and to honor the Lord in response to all their circumstances in particular and how they're specifically responding personally. And so just look for that email coming up this week. All right, well, it's been a couple of weeks, I think, too, because we had the time when I was away, obviously, down in Chile, which went very, very well. I was very encouraged. And, yeah, I was encouraged to learn Spanish as well, too. I think I was the only person that needed translation. And so they had to have conversations in English just for me sometimes, you know, when we were eating with leaders. And they'd tell jokes, and they'd be like, okay, Daniel, here's the joke. And tell me in English. And so I did appreciate that, of course. But yeah, it certainly encouraged me to seek to learn Spanish, obviously, too. It would allow me to teach 50% more material because half the time I'm teaching, it's being translated. And so, we had a great time. Heidi and I went down together, spent a day or so down there just with us. And then once the conference kicked off, she came back to watch our kiddos. But it was just good to be with Steve and Leslie. If you guys haven't had an opportunity to meet them or know them, they're great. They've been down in Chile for over 10 years, and he does runs a TMAI or about to run that. He does seminary training, so training local pastors, and they also do a biblical counseling conference once every year. And so I've gone down there, I think, 4 times now, something like that. They stopped during COVID, but yeah, so pretty fun. And appreciate you guys' prayers, you know, while we were down there as well, too. So, all right, last time you guys were here, I wasn't here, but we taught on the trials and suffering, I think, if you guys remember that. All right, well, just a quick review of that, just kind of a high-level review. As we look at suffering, okay, ultimately the cause of suffering is sin, okay, through 4 primary means. Tom, I think, delineated them in terms of moral evil, which was, you know, would include all the moral agents, okay, Satan, ourselves, or others, and then natural evil as well, too. And then we talked about the apologetic dilemma. He called it the moral dilemma, which is very same thing. And we just worked that out in terms of the goodness of God, okay, his glory and his goodness, okay, being those greater reasons, okay, or good for the suffering that he would allow. We walked through each of those different causes and how, depending upon, okay, through which, whatever means, okay, the suffering comes, the sin comes, there are different biblical responses, okay, that God has encouraged us in particular. We've also talked about trials and suffering, all right, that as we suffer, okay, or excuse me, trials and temptation, as we suffer, that's a trial. And as we endure that trial, okay, we can be tempted, okay, to respond poorly. But what God wants us to do ultimately is to turn to him. We also looked at caring for those who are suffering, both 2 wrong responses, exalting pain. If you guys remember that, right? Pain becomes about everything, right? It's the biggest issue, the biggest ordeal. But also we cannot ignore pain either, okay? Certainly pain cannot be the greatest goal, okay, eliminating it, for example, but also too, certainly as people suffer, okay, it has an impact. And as we seek to come alongside and encourage them, we cannot minimize, okay, its impact, all right, in their lives. So we looked at the correct imbalance, if you guys remember that, where there's pain on one side, kind of the balancing scale, and on the other side is God and all of who He is, right? His mercies, His compassion, His goodness, His love for us, His purposes, etc. Okay, and so we looked at this key: pain and suffering at times cannot be removed, but all that God offers can make the burden lighter and work for our good. Or said another way, God's truths are truly weightier than our pain, in that we must work not to either exalt or ignore pain in the process. And we looked at two right responses to those who suffer. Just embracing God's compassion, if you guys remember that, or looking at a compassionate God as we suffer difficulty, then also to walking in God's solutions. And so just embracing God's compassion, His care for us, but then also looking at where has God called us to be responsible, okay, and to work that out in our lives very practically. And there's lots of different ways. Well, you should have in front of you the notes on medical issues and biblical counseling, specifically in connection to physical illness. Okay, medical issues, look at physical illness and biblical counseling. Before we do that, let me go ahead and open up our time with prayer. Father, we're thankful so much for this opportunity to open Your Word together, to look at different principles related to our topic of physical illness and just how we as individuals, as we as mentors or counselors, Lord, would come alongside other people as well too, speak truth through our own hearts. Lord, that You would encourage us and help us to understand the biblical perspective. Lord, we pray that today would be helpful and encouraging and truly helpful, Lord, as we think about ministering to ourselves and others. We love You, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at physical illness and biblical counseling, this topic is important, okay, as we think about caring for people in a fallen world. The fall had a tremendous impact on people, not just spiritually, but physically as well, too. As you guys remember, Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Obviously, that is talking about the impact, right, that Genesis 3 had on each and every single one of us spiritually. Okay, but beyond that, in Genesis chapter 3 as well, too, we see that the curse, okay, just as Tom was talking about earlier today, came into the world, and through it, all forms of different sickness, illness, disease, okay, and ultimately death come along with it as well. And so the fall had an impact on us spiritually and physically. And so if we truly love people, right, which we certainly do, we must consider their whole person as we seek to care for them through counseling, okay, as we seek to minister God's truth to them, okay, as we speak the truth in love. People are defined in the Bible as comprised of both a spiritual, that is an inner or immaterial nature, and a physical, outer and material nature. And so people, therefore, can have genuine physical issues, okay, that must be considered since the immaterial and material aspects of man are often intertwined, okay, that is that they impact each other, okay. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and a very familiar verse that demonstrates this. So Proverbs chapter 3, in verse, starting in verse 5 and going all the way through verse 8, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Then here it is in verse 8. "It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Okay, and so as we walk, okay, in the Spirit of God, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, okay, we walk in His ways, there's love, joy, peace, patience, okay, all these fruits, okay, that the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit, okay, that are certain, okay, to be bearing its fruit in our lives. And that oftentimes has an impact on us physically as well too, which we'll talk about more in just a moment. But you can see here, as we walk in the law of the Lord, okay, as we trust the Lord, walk in His ways, turn away from evil, it says again in verse 8, it will be healing to our body and refreshment to our bones. And so sometimes we find that sin problems are separate from physical problems, but sometimes they are intertwined. Okay, like you might be meeting with somebody who has a marital conflict. There's difficulty, but there's also cancer. And so you're, again, they didn't cause one another, But, all right, there's the physical suffering of the cancer. There's the suffering emotionally as well, too, of the conflict that they're going through as well. And so, but sometimes they're also intertwined as well, too. Maybe one has caused or influenced the other in another way. But it's important to note that what we are not saying is that we need to provide medical counsel, obviously, okay, that addresses physical illness. Okay, we need to leave that up to medical doctors in the same way that we would trust lawyers to provide legal counsel or a CPA to provide financial counsel. We've talked about this in the past. And so our training, okay, is in the Word of God. And that is where our authority and therefore where our counsel should be founded. Okay, but what's also true as we think about this is that the Word of God speaks into these different disciplines as well too. Okay, it's not as if it's medically related, oh no, we're not going to say anything. Okay, or legal, we're not going to say anything about those. Okay, if someone came to me, which does not happen exactly, but if they came, okay, let's say they were going through a divorce, this one spouse is at a different church potentially, and they said their lawyer encouraged them, okay, to submit something that was not entirely true. Right, and they said that was legally wise, okay, not to tell the truth in this particular instance. Well, what would we say? Well, the Bible says we can't do that. And so the Bible tells us to speak the truth, all right, regardless of what may be savvy or wise, okay, according to your lawyer, okay, necessarily. And so can we speak, okay, into these different areas? Well, absolutely. Do you guys remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, what does it say about Asa? Okay, that he did not seek the Lord, okay, when he was diseased in his feet, but instead he sought out the physicians. Well, he placed his hope in them, okay? And so we can't place our hope, okay, in physicians or medicine. And so these are things certainly biblically, all right, that we'd be able to speak into people's lives as well, too. And so we don't stay entirely out of the medical field or the field of law or finances. To what God's Word speaks to, we as counselors, okay, can speak to as well, too. Does that make sense? You think about that? All right, because God's Word speaks authoritatively in all of those areas. Okay, but we should not be speaking unless God does. But again, even though biblical counseling focuses on care for the inner man, we cannot truly care for people, okay, if we neglect the impact of the fall on the physical body as well, too. Why? Because of how our physical body can impact the inner man. As we talked about a second ago, physical trials are always spiritual trials. In other words, God often allows providentially various trials, sometimes via physical illness, to enter into people's lives for his purposes, most definitely. Okay, and so even if, all right, there's cancer or some sort of other physical issue, okay, we're not trying to necessarily solve the cancer, but what we want to do is how are they responding? Okay, can we encourage, can we help them in different ways, all right, to respond in a way that would truly honor and glorify God. As we consider physical illness, let's look at several reasons for sickness. Okay, and this is as part of living and counseling in our fallen world. Number one is in general, then we'll look at some specific ones. In general, the reason for sickness is sin. Just like we looked at last time, the reason for suffering is sin. The reason for sickness is sin as well, too. So this is a little bit of a repeat. But sickness, disease, or bodily malfunction, although part of our experience now, was not a part, okay, of the original creation. Man was created to live indefinitely, right? We were to eat of the tree of life, okay, and live forever. But in Genesis 3, okay, the fall occurred, and sickness became a part of man's experience, unfortunately, because death entered into God's good creation. And it's true, the unbelieving world, okay, simply does not accept, okay, this perspective. And sometimes even Christians don't accept this perspective either. I remember having a discussion at a bagel cafe a number of years ago, all right, with a guy who was a Christian psychologist. And I asked him what he thought the fundamental problem, okay, with that he was dealing with in counseling was, and I can't remember his answer exactly, but it was not sin. And so I asked him, because we talked about Genesis 3 and the impact it had, and it was interesting to hear his perspective. He's pastor as well too, actually. And I asked him, I said, okay, that's interesting. I said, do you think that Adam and Eve had a marital conflict in Genesis 1 and 2? And he said, oh yeah, most definitely. And this was a number of years before I'd really, you know, fully formed, you know, my theology and kind of had an ability to really help him think through and work through all that stuff. But it was just shocking, right, to hear that perspective, Okay, if there was no selfishness, no pride, okay, how could Adam and Eve possibly had a marital conflict ultimately? Okay, but this rejection of this perspective, okay, that death has entered into the world has led many to search, okay, for a fountain of youth. Okay, that's just simply not going to happen. Okay, there's a modern guy, okay, that's been doing this. If you guys know, Brian or something is his name. I think he spends like $2 million a year in his health. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy. But now he sells supplements, of course. And so, we know in Hebrews 9:27, inasmuch as it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. So the point here is that when death entered into man's experience, those things which could lead to death, sickness, disease, bodily malfunction, okay, physical illness, the topic of our message today, entered in as well. And what triggered death's entrance was sin in Genesis chapter 3. And so a helpful consideration, I think we've mentioned this before, but physical illness, okay, ultimately is a consequence of man's rebellion against God. And so as we experience physical illness, whether it be the flu or some other worldwide pandemic, hopefully not, we can trace that back to the ultimate cause of our rebellion, okay, against man's rebellion against God. It can help us to long for heaven, okay, to hate our sin, okay, ultimately. And so we've looked in general at the big picture biblically. Now let's look at what the Bible says about some specific causes of physical illness. The first specific cause is a personal sin. That is sin-engendered illness. Sin-engendered illness. And before we jump into this one and look at some specific passages here that would teach this, I wanted to have a quick clarification on retribution theology, right? I imagine most of us know what this is, but essentially it teaches that in life, God sees to it that everybody gets what they deserve, okay, in this life. Okay, good people get good things, bad people get bad things. Okay, so for example, if you have cancer, then you've done something wrong, clearly, right? If you guys remember back to Job, this was the theology of his friends. And so, as you think about this, is it possible that a person is sick due to sin? Well, certainly, that's very possible. Okay, but is it always the case that sin is the reason? And the answer has to be absolutely no, okay, because what we know about what the Bible teaches. Obviously, Job is an excellent example. Right, but here are some examples biblically of sin directly connected to illness. James 5:14-16. He says, is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for another so that you may be healed. Another one, 1 Corinthians 11:26-32. This is verse 30. It says, for this reason, many among you are sick, are weak and sick, and a number of you asleep. And so some were sick, some were dead, ultimately. And the situation, the circumstance that were going on is that they were partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. Okay, some were drunk. Some were withholding food from others so that they were eating their fill and others were going hungry and starving. And so this was a consequence of that some were weak and sick and a number asleep in particular. And so we can see in these two passages that physical illness and God's judgment, okay, through physical illness is tied to sin. But there's some other reasons as well too, okay, that we can look at personal sin, okay, connected to our illness. Number three is the natural consequences of sin. So this would be, for example, the use of illegal drugs. Okay, you use illegal drugs for a long time, or maybe cigarette smoking, for example. All right, you have lung cancer. Okay, or other physical problems, deficiencies, right? Loss of teeth, right? You use methamphetamines for many, many years. It leaches calcium from your bones, and that's why they lose their teeth, okay, very, very often. Sexual promiscuity also can lead to disease, sickness, illness, right? Sexually transmitted diseases, for example. Okay, and so Galatians 6:7 says that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And so if we sin, okay, we sow in that way, there can be undesirable consequences that at times can be physical, most definitely. But also to number four, we see unbiblical responses to life. And so not just natural consequences of sin, but unbiblical responses to life, right? The way that we deal with difficulty can affect us physically. And so if we respond unbiblically to stress, okay, maybe it's sinful anger. Okay, sinful anger, right, certainly can lead to higher blood pressure, okay, if a repeated ongoing response to life. A person also, too, if they're not responding to stress, okay, they're anxious, fearful, etc., maybe they lose sleep, okay, over, right, that. So sleeplessness can be another effect, okay, to unbiblical responses to life and stress. Here's the key. Unbiblical responses to life, okay, are not good for us physically in so many ways, okay? If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, okay, those are calming, okay, in so many ways to us physically, whereas things like anger, okay, and worry are just the exact opposite, most definitely. And so as you look at Proverbs 3:5 again and read verse 8, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. That's what it's talking about. As we trust in the Lord, all right, and go His direction, respond His way, okay, there is a beneficial, often beneficial impact to us. Okay, we'll talk about some of the more specifics here in just a moment. Another specific reason for illness can be divine purposes. All right, God can prevent sin. He can sanctify us and even glorify Himself, as well as many other reasons as well. And so as we consider God's purposes in allowing illness, we can see, okay, what we just looked at, okay, in sin engendered illness, that it is not God's sole purpose, okay, to make us well all the time. Okay, that is to heal us or to take our problems away first and foremost, okay? Those in the health, wealth, prosperity movement teach a gospel contrary to this biblical truth. Because the truth is God allows physical illness into our lives for good reasons. Okay, God is good, just as Tom has gone in great detail explaining this morning. And why is this? Many of those who you will counsel, although God certainly could heal them if He chose to, has chosen for His own purposes to allow their physical illness to persist, right? All of us had the benefit this morning of listening to Tom's message on the problem of evil, but I'm, you know, hopefully as Steve listens to this, he'll link that message up. I could tell him now, but he's not here. But this is just such a great, all right, kind of compliment. Even all the hymns that we sung this morning, all right, and trusting the Lord, okay, reflecting upon His goodness, etc., all of these are so key and vital as we think about this problem and difficulty, all right, as it relates to physical illness and the reasons God may have, okay, for either delaying, okay, the healing, the resolve to that, or even permanently delaying it, potentially. Right, there are a number of different reasons Tom went over this morning. Let me take you guys to one, 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is a debated passage in exactly what this is, but I think it's still helpful to look at here in God's work in Paul's life. If you guys remember, this is the thorn in the flesh. And Paul had a surpassing revelation. Okay, if you look at verses 1 to 6, then in verse 7 it says, because of this surpassing greatness of this revelation, right, he was transported into the third heaven. All right, that would have been a pretty amazing experience. He says, for this reason, to keep me from from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And so again, some take this to mean that this was a physical messenger, okay, a false teacher, okay, that was implanted in one or more than one of the churches. That's very possible. But a lot of people take this as a physical illness, okay, or some sort of malady in particular. But whatever the case, the Lord was allowing difficulty into Paul's life to humble him. And I believe that this can be true, certainly a physical illness, okay, as we've seen in James 5, okay, as we just read, or even 1 Corinthians, okay, chapter 11, a little while earlier. But ultimately, as Tom mentioned today, that the purpose, okay, of illness, to whatever degree, is the glory of God. In John 9, if you want to turn over there, Tom mentioned this story briefly, but this was the man who was born blind. And so I want to read you just a few verses from there just to kind of understand it. But thankfully, all right, Tom mentioned that, you know, had Jesus not been around, we would have never known, okay, exactly why this may have been the case, why he was blind. But in verse 1 it says, As he passed by, this is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was that the works of God, that they might be displayed in him. Right? Verse 4, we must work the works of God who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And so what exactly happened here? This man was born blind so that God's glory may be put on display. The story is a little bit longer than we can read this morning. But if you look down in verse 24, okay, a second time, it says, they called the man, okay, this is the Pharisees, okay, the Sanhedrin, I believe, who was born blind. They said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Okay, and so they were trying to out Jesus, okay, trap him, etc. And the man that was born blind answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, I now see. And that was what exactly glorified God, is that Jesus healed this man. And this was a testimony to the true identity and nature of Jesus in particular. And this is why this man was born blind, all right? That Jesus, all right, would ultimately be glorified, right? By his character, who he is being revealed. And so as we think about all of the things that we're considering today, if God has the ability to remove physical illness but chooses not to, all right, we ask the question, what should we do? And here's the key. Okay, getting well cannot be the primary goal. Is that a goal? Certainly, right? We want to be good stewards of our body. But the goal has to be that we want to respond to God in a godly way. Okay, our purpose in life doesn't change just because we're physically sick. It's the same exact purpose, but in many ways, depending upon the severity of the illness, it just becomes more difficult physically to do that, right? To not be distracted, right, by the pain and the difficulty. But our purpose is the same as it was before. And so in conclusion here, God can get glory in three ways. Okay, he can certainly heal us, right? He can allow the sickness to remain, or thirdly, death. Okay, I remember many times hearing stories of how God has used, okay, the funeral of a saint, okay, to save people, sinners that have come to that funeral. And so there's so many different ways. Heidi and I used to go over, and it was primarily her, but I've visited a few times. She used to help with some elder care, do some dishes, and she'd bring our young kids over. It was something she could do for work while we were in seminary. We had little kids. And this lady was in her, I think, early 90s and just completely had rejected the Lord. Growing up in Los Angeles and just couldn't be further away. Her views on abortion, just we kind of avoided talking about some of those types of things. But Heidi continued to read the Bible to her. She was interested a little bit, was doing fun FOF with her as well, too, a little bit. And, you know, nothing really reached her, but she went to a friend's funeral. And the Lord used the gospel at a friend's funeral to open up her heart, and her life just totally changed. In her 90s. And so it's just amazing how the Lord, again, can be glorified, all right, through what he allows in particular. Any questions? You guys think about all these things? Yes. Sure. Yeah. So the question is, how do we respond to somebody who says, you know, in the case of Job, where obviously it wasn't his, you know, something he had done to kind of deserve it? Kind of goes back to that question I think that Tom raised. You know, why does specific evil happen to people who haven't done anything specifically to deserve it? How do we respond to somebody who says that God is just using that person like a pawn in particular? And what I'd say is, I was going to mention this a little while later, but I think that it's helpful in just kind of reasoning through this is, I think a lot of people who question God just simply don't know God. And I think that it's really key and important because that question is judgmental, really, towards who God is and what he's doing. But I think that if we really understand the person and character and nature of God, that he's perfect and infinite and wise and good and holy, okay, and just, that we'd also have to realize, too, that there's no possible way that he could make a decision that we could condemn, right, justifiably. And so if we, when we die, we go to heaven and we look back on our lives. Here's another way to say it. and we were to say, you know, God, why did you do this? I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is we're going to go to heaven. We're going to look from God's perspective, if we're able to fully do that, and to say, God, that is exactly how I would have allowed that circumstance, that situation to happen, you know, in particular. And I think it's hard and challenging that, you know, we don't have all the answers, you know, certainly. I think that's where a lot of these questions come from, is a misunderstanding. But I think number one, like I just mentioned, there needs to be a going to God and a knowing who He is. And I think trust is just so vital, okay, as we try to resolve some of these questions, you know, in our minds. But the second thing I think that's really, really important that kind of goes hand in hand with trust as well too, is that passage, the secret things belong to the Lord from Deuteronomy 29:29. Some people still would have great trouble, you know, thinking through that because of the implications, because, well, you know, I still want to know, you know, or it still seems this way or that way. But I think just thinking about it this way, it's kind of the same, similar argument from the first one I just made. But, you know, my kids, okay, come to me sometimes, whether they're 6 or 8, and they'll say, Dad, why did you do this? And I could, in great detail, explain to them exactly why I made some certain decision. But still, many times, they still don't fully comprehend. You know, and it's a lack of cognitive development, you know, from a 6-year-old's perspective, of maturity, of experience, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that there's a limitation that as we know God, that we need to trust who He is, right? Because we're that 6-year-old in some sense in an infinitely greater way. And so if we really are trying to honor and glorify God with our response, I think that it's logical, all right, even illogical to ask questions to some degree. It doesn't mean we can't ask questions, right? But to challenge or to question God, it's illogical that we would expect God to explain every single detail, you know, to us ultimately. And I think that, you know, one of the things that answers your question more directly is if God loves us, which we have to be convinced of certainly in the cross, then God wouldn't use us as pawns. Right, that wouldn't be something that's loving, okay, for any of us to ever do or to consider. All right, a pawn is, again, you know, as you play chess, it's the ones you're more willing to sacrifice, okay, in different ways. But you're not going to use people like that if you love them. And so I think as you look at the cross and what Jesus went through, okay, He was the one who sacrificed Himself, okay, not the other way around. Okay, as laying us down, you know, in particularly. And so as we consider, you know, all these different things, I think that as we consider just God's exalted position in knowledge and wisdom and in goodness, okay, and our limited perspective, you know, kind of like the illustration I gave with a 6-year-old, I do think that that's the solution, is that we have to trust the Lord. And even beyond that, I believe that He has given us sufficient wisdom in His Word. Okay, we have the sufficient scriptures to be able to look at, to know how to respond biblically in a way that truly honors and glorifies God. And so I don't know that we have to necessarily ask questions, certainly not judge and condemn God, you know, in particular, if that makes sense. So hopefully some of those things, maybe the basic simple answer is that if God is good and He loves us, then He wouldn't use us that way. And so I think it's just a misunderstanding of a perspective, and that person needs to understand God more fully. Right, who He is and His care for us. All right, responses to life. And so as we look at and consider what happens to us physically, let's look at some of the different ways, okay, that God has put our body together, because we want to consider how our responses, okay, that is the responses of our heart, okay, affect our physical bodies. God has made, okay, our bodies, right, as it says in the Psalms, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I was just at a doctor's office last week, and he was explaining some of the different controls, okay, that go on in our bodies, okay, the nervous system, all the different processes that happen. He didn't explain all of them to me, thankfully. We would have been there for a very long time. But as you look at the chart that you guys have here of the parasympathetic nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, and there's so much more, okay? All of these things, okay, that happen, okay, and that go on inside of our body are incredibly complex and unique, right? He was explaining some nerve that ran down the back of the spine. Honestly, I'm not sure exactly what he was talking about, and now that I think about it, because we talked for 2.5 hours, but all of these things are intricate, okay? And as our bodies are affected, okay, internally, okay, through our responses, okay, there can be certainly an impact. And so if you look at number two, the way that God has designed our bodies to function physically may be influenced by our responses to life. Okay, as you guys respond to different things, you can read facial expressions. Okay, our physical face responds to different things that go on in our lives. Okay, and this can happen not just externally, but internally, okay, in our bodies as well too. Okay, as stress and other things happen. So these things can produce physical symptoms, okay, the responses to life. And so, for example, there are muscles just above the colon that are susceptible to stress. When stressed, the muscles tense up and cause pain or conditions like irritable bowel syndrome. Okay, it can make someone feel nauseous. And so the question is, can these problems be caused by organic reasons? You know, certainly, you know, irritable bowel syndrome can be. But the truth is that our body's responses are to circumstances because of our, the truth is our body responds to circumstances because of our hearts and can cause physical responses in our bodies leading to physical symptoms as well too. Can there be organic reasons? Absolutely. But can there be spiritual reasons, all right, that impact and influence our physical bodies? Absolutely. I was actually just talking to somebody this weekend over the Thanksgiving break. I guess it wasn't the weekend. This week, and he mentioned to me that he had a high-pressure sales job. I can't remember what exact context we were talking about, but he said that the entire time he was at that job, he had a stomachache. The entire time. And I worked there for a little while, too. Oh, man, it was pretty intense. You basically got paid nothing unless you sold something. And so, you know, and it was this high, you know, culture, high-energy, you know, kind of sales, high-pressure environment. And he had a stomachache the entire time that he worked there. Felt sick very often. And that was a direct result, he believed, okay, from the pressure and his response to it in that work environment. People, therefore, can be led to believe that there is something wrong with their body, okay, when there is actually not something wrong physically with their body. Okay, but here's the caution. I would not go around thinking that everybody's physical issue is in their body is really some spiritual problem. Okay, obviously that's the case. It's true. Many have specific diagnoses that explain a genuine organic issue that has caused, okay, their physical problem. And honestly, I just lean that direction. If they say they have a physical issue, I want to believe that until we've done investigation to understand. But one of the keys is to really understand the diagnosis. You know, if there's some big problems going on in the counseling room, you're talking about emotions, depression, anxiety, anger, whatever it may be, and there's fluctuation of these things, they may seem very much like sinful responses, and they very, very well may be. But then you say that the person had some doctor's checkups, and they have Hashimoto's, and their hormone imbalance is radically off. And so, yes, they may be angry or anxious or depressed, but these are swings that are emotional swings that are influenced dramatically, okay, by their hormones and their body and the way that they feel and get overwhelmed, just like all of us are, can be influenced when we're tired or hungry potentially as well. And so the way that we physically feel, okay, our physical bodies can have a dramatic impact as well too. Doesn't mean that she was excused, okay, this person from sin necessarily, but we understood the influence. Does she still need to work through anger or depression or anxiety? Sure, of course. All right, but the reason for the huge swings, okay, was more of a physical body problem than it was a spiritual problem. And so we can ask the question, is there an organic problem? And sometimes we just simply don't know. You know, the doctors have searched, they've looked, sometimes they find some things, but we just don't know, okay, completely all the time. And so as we counsel somebody, right, that has a physical issue, okay, a physical diagnosis, okay, can we help, okay, when we don't know if there's spiritual causation? Well, absolutely, right, we can help them glorify God by responding in a way that honors Him, right, stewarding their body appropriately. We can also, too, help them grow spiritually, right, as they struggle through this trial, right, James 1 teaches that God wants to strengthen their faith, right? Help them to grow spiritually in particular through all this. Then number three, it's also possible that responding biblically may alleviate some of the physical symptoms. Okay, I had a guy come to me a number of years ago. He was struggling with some issues with having to go to the bathroom frequently. And he'd gone to every doctor he can find, had no relief, or very minor relief, but he was really struggling with anxiety. And so he came and said, hey, can you help me see if I can figure out if maybe my anxiety, my anxiousness is connected to the irritation of my bladder. And so we worked through a bunch of things, and it helped to some degree. But again, we wanted to reorient ourselves. I told him, you can't come to the Bible to help you with your physical problems. First and foremost, you have to come because we need to honor the Lord. And so I can help you accomplish that goal. Okay, now will it impact your bladder? I don't know. Okay, maybe, and I hope so, and that'd be great if it does. But at the end of the day, right, our primary goal has to be to glorify God. And so we worked through a lot of things, and there was some help, but the problem unfortunately persisted. But, right, the Lord was working in his life, and he pushed him, okay, to go seek some help so that he was honoring and loving the Lord and his family more and more through this trial and difficulty, which was a success ultimately, all right, for him as he thought about his own personal goals. So it's possible, again, that our responses to life can produce physical symptoms, but again, that's not always the case. B, our responses may aggravate diseases already present. Okay, can be the truth as well, too, just like the example I just gave. Okay, again, that ended up not being the case, but that's very possible. One example of this is there was a guy I met with that had an extreme case of anxiety, and he had a very, very high-pressure job. He was in the military, and he couldn't tell me what he did, of course, and it was all top secret. So it was, you know, interesting talking to him because there was only certain things he could tell me. It was stressful. And so as we talked through, I helped him think through his response to life, okay, panic attacks, all kinds of different things. And he grew over that time, but what we ended up finding out was that there was an issue of poisoning. And there was some fuel that had leaked, okay, in the ground into the water supply. And other family members weren't experiencing the same symptoms, but he was because he was going through so much stress in his work. And so it was weakening his body and causing a much stronger physical reaction to the poisoning than other people. And so he still looks back, and again, once they moved and got away from all that, all the poison, basically, the gasoline that they were drinking, his symptoms and the extreme nature of them went away almost completely. But still, to respond to the stress of work, that was hugely beneficial and profound for him personally, because it was still very, very hard spiritually, right, to respond and think through all of those things, even though there wasn't directly a connection. But one thing that's very clear, I think, too, is as we think about how our responses may aggravate diseases already present, are the placebo effect. Okay, as you guys have thought through, right, you guys have all seen the studies that are done, and people that have physical ailments take a pill that has nothing but sugar water in it, okay, because they believe that something is going to help them, they tend to do better, okay, statistically, in significant ways. Right, and so every time they test a drug nowadays, they have to do blind studies where some people take placebos and some people take the actual medicine. And there has to be a statistical difference between the placebo, okay, and the actual medication itself. Why? Well, because simply it's true that people believe, as we'll look at the psychosomatic impact here in a second, is that when we believe and have hope, okay, we're responding biblically in a way, we tend to do better personally. Okay, if someone has hope, right, we relax, we're encouraged, right, and this has an impact on our physical bodies. And so our responses, again, may aggravate diseases already present. The medical terminology for this is the idea of psychosomatic. That is that our mind and our body has a connection. And this is the secular way, I believe, of putting it, because when they say mind, they don't mean thinking necessarily, they can mean that, but they mean your brain specifically. Okay, for us, okay, here's a quote from there. It says, of a physical illness or other condition caused or aggravated by a mental factor such as internal conflict or distress. Okay, and so even the medical community sees a connection between these two things just as we would. And so, but here's a better way of looking at it. I think just looking at it as a spiritual, physical problem, because as we think about our thinking, okay, it is an immaterial issue, not just one of our brain, okay, or the physical organ of our brain specifically. It's spiritual and physical. That's the connection ultimately. But as we think about all these things, okay, one thing that has to be present is a consideration of medical treatment. So as we think about, okay, understanding, okay, and looking at all the way that God has made us, you know, getting a good doctor is going to be vital in so many ways, right? As a physical illness, okay, is potentially present, we would never want to say, oh no, well, you're not responding well, that may be true. Maybe they're aggravating, okay, and making things worse. But if it's even possibly a physical issue, right, we want them to go get a full medical evaluation, okay, so that the doctor can care for them. Okay, this gets more complicated as we begin to think about mental, okay, issues or illness, okay, as it's called. We'll talk about that next time. Okay, we want to be a little more cautious to some degree with that. But in terms of physical illness, okay, I don't have any sort of reluctance or hesitation in really encouraging people strongly to go get checked out. I'm actually very encouraged many times when they come having already done that, okay, to our time, and oftentimes that's the case. But again, big picture here, the problem, okay, the illness is not our problem, right? It is primarily our response to that problem, okay? We can't necessarily change our circumstances, but we can change our response. And many times that will have an impact on us, okay? And if nothing else, it will honor the Lord. Let's look at right responses to illness here, just in conclusion. We want to evaluate the reasons, okay? Is it due to just living in a fallen world? Okay, all suffering is a result, again, of living in a fallen world. And as we consider physical illness, headaches, migraines, seizures, Alzheimer's, Lyme's disease, okay, whatever it might be, okay, we want to respond with compassion. Okay, again, we've talked about this over and over again. But as we see people that are suffering, okay, many times I'll just pray, okay, if it's not a natural way that you feel in response, to pray and just try to understand how that person may feel, right? We need to be moved by a person's suffering because we truly care about them. And so as we care for them, as we demonstrate compassion, just try to understand, how has this been impacting you? How has this affected you? How does it make you feel? All those things can help us to be more compassionate towards people. All right. Is this sin engendered? Okay. Maybe it's liver disease or failure because they've been drinking alcohol, okay, for many, many years. Well, I'd say that it's all the above. Okay. What we just talked about. We want to be compassionate. Again, it's still something wrong with their bodies. It's painful. It hurts. Okay. If we had something like this, we'd want people to be compassionate to us, but we'd also want to call them to repentance as well, too, obviously. Okay. Assuming they haven't already done that. Or maybe they come, they have liver disease, they're really struggling, they're discouraged and depressed, and they want your help, right? But what we'd want to lead them to do is to think about their relationship to the Lord, okay, and the consequences that have got them there, okay? We want them, again, to glorify God, and that would be the means to do that. What's always true, though, is see that God has divine purposes, or three in your notes, that God has divine purposes, okay? It can be to prevent sin, to glorify Him. Okay, you guys haven't listened to, I think maybe most of you, but Chaz and Patty Morse did a recording a number of years ago just on physical illness. You guys, I think most of you guys all remember her if you've been here for a number of years. But if you guys haven't listened to their Q&A, I would really recommend it because Patty, if you don't know her, had, I think, terminal cancer for about 7 years, something like that. Wonderful, just sweet, dear lady. And her and Chaz did a Q&A with Jonathan one of the weeks I was not able to be there. And they just walked through just God's direction, encouragement, purposes, how they're thinking through things that were helpful in the church and not. And it's just an incredibly helpful message to listen to. And so she mentioned in that audio that the reason for her illness was not something that she had done, but a genetic mutation. Okay, and so it was going back to the very first reason, the fall. Okay, ultimately, the reason why she had her cancer. Again, we remember this in Job as well, too. He had the sores all over his body. It wasn't anything that had to do with him. It was God's divine purposes working out. And Patty mentions a number of God's purposes in her life and what He was doing. She mentioned that God had created for her and Chaz a new mission field. All right, they were constantly ministering to all the different medical personnel, the nurses, the doctors, okay, sharing the gospel with them from a very similar perspective that Paul had. Remember when he was arrested, okay, he was in jail. This is Philippians chapter 1. What did Paul do in jail? Well, he evangelized, okay, the Praetorian Guard. And so this was the same thing that Patty and Chaz, okay, that was their perspective as they were going through all of this. This was an opportunity for them. Patty also mentioned sanctification, right? God had been working so dearly in her life through all the difficulties, okay, to sanctify, purify her as her and Chaz turned to the Lord repeatedly. And also, she said it drew her closer to the Lord, right? As you turn to the Lord, spend more time with him, think on his word as we need to, and we certainly do, all of us, it draws us closer to him. But also, too, she mentioned to experience his comfort, right? Just to be comforted, to be encouraged. And if you knew Patty, you knew she'd experienced it because she was constantly comforting others, okay, all the time. Okay, and so she had received his comfort, and she was doing exactly what God had intended, and that's comforting other people as well, too, right? It may be that God is humbling a person as well. Okay, as God allowed for his divine purposes in my life in 2017, it was the hardest year of my life. In some way, I hope it, you know, something that hard never happens again. But as I look back on it, I don't wish that year to be any different because of all the, of what God was teaching through that time was so valuable. You know, I think he was teaching again compassion. Right? God knew that I was going to meet with who knows how many people over the years, hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of people. Okay, as my life continues, Lord willing, right, and the Lord does not come back. And that was a desperate need, okay, of my heart was to grow in compassion. And the Lord realized that going through suffering was a key way that that was going to be developed in my own heart. And so the next purpose is to glorify God. God can glorify himself by healing, but he can also be glorified in many other ways as well, too, all right? Allowing the sickness to remain, death, even as we talked about before. And so there's three important questions that Dr. Street, okay, liked to ask. He would ask people, can God heal you? And they, of course, would say yes. He would ask, has God healed you? The answer was often no in that case. And so what does he want you to do in response? And that would just help them to reason through and think through, all right, what God, okay, what the purposes, all right, that the Lord had for them in particular. And number one, again, is to glorify the Lord, to consider all of his purposes in particular. I think Tom loves this old Martin Lloyd-Jones quote, okay, if I'm remembering the right person. But he said that we cannot trace God's hand, but we can trust his heart. If you guys remember all of that. So as we trust in the Lord, okay, and turn to him, right, to think through all of his purposes in our responses in particular. Number two, we also want to ask the right question. Okay, how can this illness be used to glorify God, as we just talked about, instead of why God? Again, it's not wrong to ask why, just as Tom mentioned this morning. It's wrong to judge God. And sometimes that why God has the assumption that this should not be happening. Okay, if that's a part of our why question, then that is sinful. It's wrong, but if we're saying, Lord, please help me to understand, all right, or in James chapter 1, verse 5, Lord, give me wisdom. Please help me understand why this is going on. Those questions are certainly not wrong. We're not challenging or testing God, ultimately, in our questioning. And so a number of things that we can do is recognize the truth of John 9, verse 3. Okay, one of the things, okay, that how can this illness be used to glorify God is, in that case, for this man, there was healing. And so many times, all right, as I've reached out in POTW calls, you know, if you guys get a call, okay, from a pastor, a random pastor, like, hey, why did this pastor call me? It's because they're pastor of the week, most likely, or sometimes, too, if the pastor knows you well, they'll call you. So, you know, sometimes three pastors, okay, will call you. Tom calls you, the pastor of the week will call you, and the other pastor that's over your Sunday school class or something will give you a call. So sometimes I'll say, who else has called them before I'll give them a call? But many times I'll hear people, I call to encourage them because I know they're going through something really significant. And they'll mention all the different ways that God has answered prayers, right? That the situation is not nearly as dire as they thought that it could be, that God has intervened, has been gracious in the surgery or in some sort of other way. So it's very incredibly encouraging, this hearing. And so many times I'll call to be an encouragement, and the result ends up being that I'm encouraged. As I've spoken to four different people who are in the hospital laying on a bed in the ICU or wherever it is, and I end up being the one that's encouraged because God has been working so graciously in their lives. B, it's also to evaluate personal goals. What glorifies God the best, though, before we move on here in terms of healing, is not always, okay, getting better. You know, I think Tom has told the story, if you guys have heard it, where he was sitting in in the hospital one time, and there was a pastor behind him promising the person they were trying to minister to that God was going to heal them. And that was going to happen, most certainly. I can't remember if he added like if you'll believe or have faith or something. That's oftentimes the reason that they'll give to kind of get themselves out of that promise, as, oh, well, you didn't have faith or something to that effect. But Tom just cringed, you know, when he heard that promise being made, because God's not simply given us that promise that every malady, every issue, okay, is going to be healed. Okay, although we have a gracious and incredibly kind God, and many times he does choose to glorify himself through healing, he does not always choose to do that. There are other ways that he can be glorified as well, too. We also, too, as we look at sickness, want to evaluate personal goals in light of the sickness. Ecclesiastes says this, better is a house of mourning than a house of laughter. Okay, and that's a strange thing to think about. Obviously, Solomon wasn't saying that it's never good to laugh. Obviously, that's not true. But we can learn so much, okay, through trials and difficulty and pain. And so it is better, that is more profitable oftentimes for us, okay, to go through difficulty than it is times of laughter and ease or enjoyment. Also, too, as we think about personal goals, okay, 2 Corinthians 5:9 is really important, okay? What is our ambition? We can all be tempted, okay, as we go through significant physical problems to make healing, okay, or feeling better, the primary goal, okay, of our life in that period of time. And it's hard, right? We can be incredibly compassionate for people who do that. But again, like I mentioned earlier, our purpose doesn't change, okay, whether we're well or whether we're sick. Our goal is always to glorify and honor God and to please him and to think through, as we struggle through whatever illness it may be, how to best do that, right? How to best honor the Lord with the circumstances that we're in. And so there's a lot of different ways as well, too, that are given in terms of purposes. I know Tom went through a whole bunch of them this morning as well, too, so you guys can look through these. In 2 Corinthians 12, we can see that God uses physical illness to prevent sinful pride, or in James 1, to produce endurance and sanctification, or in Romans 8, to be shaped into Christ's likeness, or in Genesis 50:20, to do good to many. Okay, and so these are different things, certainly, that can encourage and help us, okay, to think through and to have answers, okay, to the questions that we may ask of the Lord, okay, as we go through all these different difficulties. Number three, you must be responsible no matter how you feel. This has not been all the time, but there's been times, certainly, where I've met people who are very physically sick, and they tell me, Daniel, I just can't. I can't do this. And you know what? We've all been there. We've all felt that way before, whether we're physically sick or not. But the truth is, okay, that's a part of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, there's no trial, okay, that's uncommon. Temptation, that's uncommon. God's faithful, etc. And so that's true. Whether we feel physically strong or feel physically weak, whether we have an illness or we do not. And so in those times, okay, where someone feels like, I can't do this, right? There's, I think, a graciousness. I mean, sometimes people can't think clearly for very long. All right, I'm not going to give them a whole book to read. Okay, I'm not going to give them, okay, somebody who's going through real severe difficulty, pain, I'm not going to give them something really complex, maybe just a short verse, okay, or a devotional. Okay, instead of they're maybe reading through Leviticus, okay, through that time. Hey, you know what? That's maybe let's transition over to just a short, you know, something. The what's that one devotional from MacArthur that's really good? But it's just a short. It's just one little page. There's a verse. There's a reflection. And you know what? For the day, for that person, and just feeling overwhelmed constantly, that's going to be incredibly helpful. It may be a bite-sized piece that they can digest. But at the end of the day, too, we as Christians, whether we feel well or not, we shouldn't say, I can't. Because God, okay, no matter whether we feel well, strong, weak, whatever, none of us can. Okay, it's only through the grace of God that any of us can do what God has called us to do, whether we're well or not. And so we shouldn't say, I can't glorify God. Okay, I can't respond his way. It might be harder, might be more difficult, but God certainly can give us the grace to do that. What if someone, number four, has something that medicine has not discovered? Well, God has a purpose for it too, right? Just as we've been talking about. Okay, sometimes it may be years. Okay, I have a person in my family, they've been sick for like 16, 17 years. Okay, I've had some random condition as well too, who knows exactly what it is, for probably 8 months, right? We've not been able to figure out exactly what's going on with that either. And I know there's people here in this room too that have different physical ailments and conditions, right, that God has allowed to persist as well too. And so we want to be a good steward, right, of what the Lord has for us in this time, right? And this is what God has allowed, okay, this physical illness. And so we want to steward it well, okay? We want to steward good times well, even difficult times well as well too. God has a purpose, certainly. What's a biblical strategy for ministering to the suffering? This is the last part here. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 is a model that is excellent just in general for just ministering to anyone. But this is a model too that you can use to really help people who are going through suffering. But I want to kind of just work it a little bit differently. Let me just read them to you and then go over kind of how I think through ministering to people going through physical illness. And so this passage calls us to admonish the unruly, to encourage the faint-hearted or discouraged, you could say. Okay, certainly illness can wear people out. They can be discouraged, faint-hearted. And then to help the weak. Help the weak, right? Those who struggle with physical disadvantage, okay, weak, they want to cling to, okay, they need assistance, okay, in some way. And then lastly, it says, be patient with all. Be patient with all. And as I think through these, all right, as I help biblically, you know, one of the things I want to think through is a person's need who's suffering with a physical illness, it's to encourage. All right, that's where I always want to start, okay? If any of you have been sick for a while, okay, have a physical illness, difficulty, that's where I want to go first, is to just encourage them, right, to help them in different ways. And this might be to give them hope, okay? There can be lots of different possibilities, okay, to offer encouragement. One way to offer encouragement is to help them to understand trials and to know how to respond to them, because again, suffering, this physical illness, is a trial, and they can be tempted in that trial to respond poorly, and that oftentimes makes things worse. And so to know God's purposes, all right, to embrace, okay, what the good that God is doing in their lives can oftentimes be a great and wonderful encouragement, so that they have a strategy. It's not just another bad day. It's something that God is doing, okay, in their lives, and to have answers and a direction, okay, and a strategy can be an incredible encouragement, right? So hoping in the Lord and having a general strategy is incredibly helpful. But also, too, to just encourage them to be a good steward of their body. I think most people, like I said, kind of go to the doctor even before they come, but sometimes they just get stuck and be very discouraged even with reaching out to different doctors. And, you know, different doctors have different perspectives, right? We can encourage people to get a second opinion. There can be all different potential ways, right? But at the end of the day, it's a biblical idea to be a good steward of our bodies. And so we want to speak from God's word and encourage people to do that, okay? And there's a lot that can be said about medical care. It's kind of hard to kind of think through all that stuff now, but you know, obviously finding root causes, if that's possible, right? Really what's wrong with the body. And then lastly, too, other physical ways that we can help. Obviously, as people are sick, weak, they're in the hospital, etc., there can be things that they would normally do for themselves that they cannot do, right? That might involve additional stress or difficulty. So are there ways that we can serve? Can we go clean their house? Can we bring them a meal? You know, in our church, I'm so thankful many of the times when I call people and I'm asking them, is there anything I can do? They say, oh, well, no. You know, my Sunday school teacher has already, or my small group leader or whoever it was, already reached out to me and they already have meals planned. And I just found out about this, you know, like that morning, and they already knew about it 2 days ago and they've already worked out all those details. And so just caring for people's physical needs, you know, when they're going through physical illness, and in a sense, partial disability at least in terms of their strength or ability to do different things around the house can be an incredible blessing and encouragement. And our church has done such an excellent job of doing that. But again, that's why POTWs exist, because our church is large. And sometimes those things are still very, very helpful. And could call to encourage, you know, and to see if there's ways to serve, minister to, you know, et cetera. So any questions before we close here? Hopefully this is helpful for you guys as you just consider just how to minister to people with physical illness and lots of the different ways. We want to be certainly careful not to believe that a person has a physical illness, okay, because they've done something wrong, okay, to avoid that retributive kind of theology, right? But also, too, to understand that it's possible that the way that they're responding, okay, can lead to physical symptoms and difficulties, but we just don't know, okay? We don't know for sure. We want to keep their eyes, okay, focused on glorifying God in the midst of whatever difficulty that they are. That is the purpose, okay, of godly counsel ultimately. And so as people come to us with physical issues, okay, we want to encourage them to be a good steward of their body and then to point them, okay, to responding biblically. Many times that will help. Be an encouragement, if nothing else. Okay, but ultimately the goal is to glorify and honor the Lord. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Father, we're thankful for this morning, an opportunity to talk about your word. Lord, I know that there's a number of people, not only in this class, but in our church, Lord, that are going through different physical issues and ailments. Lord, we do pray just for your graciousness, Lord, and your mercy, Lord, to provide healing. And yet, Lord, too, we know often that's not the case, or sometimes it's not the case. And so, Lord, we pray, God, for those who are going through those physical issues, Lord, that you would provide encouragement, that you provide strength and wisdom for them, Lord, as they respond to these things, Lord, they would still honor you, glorify you, Lord, that they would draw near to you, that you'd be working out your wonderful and amazing purposes, Lord, that your character, Lord, be a great comfort and a help to them, and that, Lord, that each one of us would grow better, Lord, to know how to help people through trials and difficulties, but starting with that in our own lives, and then being able to minister to people as well too, Lord. Just pray that in our church we'd be ministered to well, through the things that we've learned today, the people and the lives that we may have an opportunity to speak into. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.